In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. One can smell, but not really sense. One can touch, but not truly feel. One can taste, but not truly savor. As all married people can attest, one can hear, but not listen. But most importantly for the sermon this morning, one can see, but not truly perceive. Each of our readings this morning deals with seeing, but not really seeing. In our first reading, Samuel is called upon to select and then anoint the next king of Israel, who will follow Saul. He goes to Jesse the Bethlehemite and has a series of his sons parade by. He looks from oldest to youngest, Eliab, Abinadab, Shammah, Nethanel, Radai, Ozem. Well, surely it's one of these. Not. God says to him, "Do not look on outward appearances, for the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And at that point, Jesse reveals he has another son. Oh, he's out watching the sheep. Go send for him. He walks in. Bingo. We have the next king of Israel. In our epistle, Paul likewise reminds us that we walk by faith, not by sight. And then completes the reading with this admonition. From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. We need to look past what we see with our physical eyes. Our physical eyes were not meant for spiritual sight. The gospel amplifies this same principle. Israelites, or you or me, look at a tiny mustard seed about the size of a head of a pin and say, "Well, what use is this?" And forget that out of that one little seed comes the greatest shrub in the desert. We can't just look on what we see with these earthly physical eyes and necessarily see what God would have us see. Sight looking, or worse, sight living, will only get us off track. If we look only at the givens, what we see, and not look past the external, we will miss many golden opportunities, many enriching insights, and no doubt many blessings from our God. James Dobson, founder of Focus on the Family Ministries, tells a story that just amplifies this point perfectly. He was on a cross-country flight from New York to California, and he had all sorts of work. It had been a grueling schedule of speaking engagements, and he just wanted a little peace on the airplane. Haven't we all been there? And in the kind of corral where the airline has you waiting with other people, he noticed somebody that he just hoped and prayed he didn't have to sit in the same aisle with. Bandana wearing, leather jacketed, multiple tattooed person with several earrings in one ear, and he thought, "Surely God wouldn't do that to me." And lo and behold, he not only sat in his own row, he sat next to him. And as he looked down, he saw this young man had no books, no magazines, nothing to look at. And we all know what that means. It means you're going to talk. And so the young man turned to him and he said, well, where are you headed? And he said, same place as you. We're going to California. He said, no, what are you going to do in California? And he just assumed that everyone knew what James Dobson looked like. And if not, he could look at his pamphlets and his suitcase and see his name plastered everywhere. And he realized the young man had never heard of James Dobson or Focus on the Family Ministries. He decided to, where are you going? Well, I'm going to a crowd of bikers to talk to them about Jesus. The tattooed man said. James Dobson was amazed. He said that was the last thing he ever expected the biker to say. And then the biker said, dude, we're gospel ministers together. They were both ambassadors for Christ. One in leather and jeans and one in bad polyester. But James Dobson isn't the only one who does this. If you are really honest with yourself, and if I am really honest with myself, there are a lot of times I see things and I take them at face value and I assume my perception is correct. But the problem with sight walking and sight living is that our physical eyesight will always fail us. Since I turned 40, my physical eyesight has deteriorated year by year. My eyeglass prescription keeps getting stronger. I'm not coordinated enough to put in contact lenses, or I would use those. Not about vanity, but just so I could see better. I asked my eye doctor what was going on, and he looked at me and he said, well, you just have old eyes. What I've discovered is that while my physical eyesight is failing, my spiritual eyesight, I think, is improving. I try to see people in the world not through my physical eyes, but through God's eyes. And how often He astounds me and reminds me in gospel stories that Jesus looked at the world with more than just His physical eyes. In Matthew chapter 9, He's on a healing mission going throughout Galilee, and the text just kind of stops very abruptly, and it says, and Jesus, seeing the multitude, had compassion on them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. He didn't just say, oh, it's another preaching venue, here I go, and yeah, they're probably going to want me to pray for them. He looked at them with more than his physical eyes and saw exactly what God wanted him to see. Or how about in Mark chapter 12 when Jesus is standing before the treasury and his eyes are immediately drawn to the woman who goes and plunks in two copper coins, about a penny's worth. And he sees her and he's just amazed and he said, this woman has given more than everybody else. And the disciples kind of look at him. He says, are you kidding? We heard the plink, plink, instead of the thunk of the big offering. He said, no, this woman gave the most generous gift. She gave everything she had. As we read the Gospels over and over, we see that there are times that Jesus comes upon people and he sees in them a potential that you and I would completely miss. I can tell you, it would have taken me about 5 minutes with Peter, and I would not have put him on the team. He was impetuous, hot-headed. He was a fisherman, probably smelled like one. He did not read How to Win Friends and Influence People. And if I was picking an ambassador for the Gentiles, I wouldn't have even looked at Saul, who later became Paul. Didn't this guy sign up for persecution duty? Wasn't he on the road to Damascus when the Lord opened his eyes by closing them? Do you remember that story? Paul's eyes, his spiritual eyes were open. He couldn't see anything in the physical world. But God showed him, through his blindness, an incredible truth. That God loved the Gentiles. Even those uncircumcised, he loved them just as much as the chosen people of Israel. I'm not sure I would have given Mary Magdalene a second look, or the other Mary, and yet Jesus saw in them a love and devotion, and he gave them the first glimpse of his resurrected body, and called them to be the first disciples who became apostles to go and tell the rest of the men who were what? Hiding. You see, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, we are told to trust in the Lord with all our heart and to lean not on our own understanding. But so oftentimes what happens is we are so heavily leaning on our own understanding and our own sense of what we see and our own perception of what we believe to be right, I can tell you, we are most often confounded. Our sight will fail us. But if we can begin to look at the world as God looks at the world, as how people of faith are supposed to look in the world, then we'll see the world dramatically different. We don't see the bum on the street. We see someone that there but for the grace of God would I stand. You want to look as God looks? Look for compassion. Look for unity. Look for people who are generous and sacrificial. Look for people who are ready to repent and admit their wrongs. Look at people who are much more critical of themselves than they are of others. And I will show you people whom God is teaching how to look anew. To trust not in our own understanding, to trust not just by what our physical eyes show us, but to be open to what God is bringing into our life. To be open to look at the world in such a way that we see potential that you and I don't see in a human perspective. And to realize that when God opens our eyes, he also opens our hearts. And we view his world, his creation, and his people very differently. There's a wonderful contemporary song that says, I've sang it many times, open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our ears. I don't know that I really want God to do that. As I've thought about it, what I really want to do is have God open my eyes so I can see the world as he sees it. Without judgment, without severity, with incredible grace beyond what either you or I deserve. And then maybe when we start looking at the world with that kind of compassion, we can understand what it means to no longer walk by sight, but to walk by the guidance and direction of his Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.